Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Alrighty, everybody. I hope you're having a great day, and I wanted to say thank you for joining us here on Defined by Moments. Go ahead and grab that Bible and let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So far, through our move through the book of Proverbs, we have completed the first two chapters and we've looked at multiple things. But today, we're going to zero in on the first 12 verses here in Proverbs chapter 3, and quite honestly, are going to touch on the verses that very well may be the most familiar, the most quoted verses in all of the book of Proverbs. But before we do, as we think about this, I call this session the Dew. And that makes me think back and chuckle to, Mountain Dew, which was my favorite drink when I was in college and in the early years of my marriage. And they had a simple but wonderful marketing tool. And their phrase was Dew the Dew. And, you know, it was so simple, it stuck with you. And by implication, when they turn to you and they're saying to you, hey, Joel, do the do, they are saying that by choosing Mountain Dew, you are not choosing Pepsi or Coke or insert your favorite soft drink, soda, pop, whatever you call it in the region where you live. But they were saying by choosing to do the do, you're making a choice, which means you're choosing not to do something else. As we go through these 12 verses, we are going to see very clearly that Solomon is going to lay out in five instances that we are not to do something. And by implication, he is going to be telling us there are things that we should do. So stop and think about it. If you're a parent, you know, and you have a child that needs to come in from playing outside and do their homework, and what do? You go, hey, go do your homework. Well, by implication, you're telling them, stop playing outside and go do your homework. Solomon uses the same thing. It's just a more formal way that it is being done in the wisdom literature here of the Bible, but it's something that we do every single day in our lives. Now, the amazing part before we actually get into this is there are bookends. Verses 1 and 2, we see Solomon again going, my son. Guess what? We see the same thing at the end with verses 11 and 12. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to see, you know, Solomon tell him, hey, my son, if you remember these things, you're going to get a peaceful life. And then on the back end, you're going to see him, hey, the way that you respond to the chastening of God shows that he loves you, and it shows that you love him. So it's a very interesting way that he has structured this. But Proverbs chapter 3, let's look at verses 1 and 2. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching. There's the first one. Do not forget my teaching. But then here's the flip side. But let your heart keep my commandments. He goes on in verse 2, says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. You know, we often talk about how that we want peace in our life. The only way that we can have peace in our life is if we have peace with God first. And that, in essence, is what Solomon is saying. He's saying, don't forget my teachings. By the way, my teachings are pointing you back to God. Why? Because my thesis in all of Proverbs is that if you fear the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. Don't forget that teaching. Hold on to it. The word keep here in Hebrew literally means to watch over, to guard. So he is saying, put everything you've got to make sure that that is the most precious thing that you have and you don't let that slip away. Why? Because then you're going to gain a peaceful life from it. So that's the first piece here that we see, the don't forget, verse 3. Then Solomon says, let not, there it is again, that is another way of saying do not. So he's saying, do not let this happen, but let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. If you know anything about the Bible and you have read that verse, you've probably paused and went, this reminds me of something. And you probably can't put your finger on it. I was the same way until I started preparing for this session. And if you go to Exodus chapter 34, you will see exactly where we have seen that phrasing about steadfast love and faithfulness. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses is making new tablets. He has destroyed the first one because Israel has sinned, and God is speaking to him. But notice, verse 4, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord a God, notice the description, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So Solomon is using a phrase going back to the law that references the character of the God that we serve. Boy, that would have grabbed the attention. This connection would have been made, and think about that. The imagery here of it being pointing back to the law, you know, where he says to bind these teachings around your neck, literally, to tie together, to not let it go, to hold on to it. But then he goes on and says that you are to write it on the tablet of your heart. If you bind something and you write something down, then what are you doing? You're holding it together. You're preserving it. You're keeping it in that specific location so that it's always with you. So Solomon very clearly here is saying, don't forsake these things. Tie them together. Hold on to it with all that you've got. Remember the latter part here, verse 1, where he says to keep the commandments, that guard, that watch. If I was a guard and I had a prisoner, what would I do? I would bind them. I would put them in a location so they couldn't get away, and then I would watch them. That is the imagery here, that the importance of clinging to the wisdom that God offers us. But I just love this phrase where he says to write them on the tablet of your heart. The central core of life, what drives and determines everything that we do, we need to intentionally inscribe these things in our hearts so they stay there. Man, that's amazing. But the why? Solomon, once again, he says, do this, and here's the why. The why is in verse 4, so you will find favor and good success. This aspect of favor, so that you are accepted. You are looked at as an authority. You are respected. Where? In the sight of God and in the sight of man. Yes, there have been times historically, there are going to be times in the future, there are times right now that Christians are standing for their faith and they're losing their life. They're being persecuted. But you know what? That testimony sticks with people. And there is a respect of that. But notice here, it's not just favor, but it's good success. You know, and we've talked about biblical success before. It's not what the world thinks. The world thinks that, you know, that success is money, it's possessions, it's authority. I'm on top. I can do this. I've got all of this. I have these things. You can't get to me. It's all of that. That's what the world sells that success is. But biblically, success is good sense. It's understanding. It's intelligence. It's that ability to look at a situation, to know what's right, and to do what's right. So Solomon very clearly here is saying, remember, don't do these things because I need you, son, to do these things. Then we get to the most famous, what I believe, the most famous verse in Proverbs, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here it is. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In other words, don't lean on your understanding. That word lean, you know what it means? Yeah, it means to lean, to prop up against, to depend upon in order to stand. He's saying don't trust your own judgment. Instead, trust the Lord. This aspect of trusting the Lord, I mean, I'm currently sitting in a chair with a headset on as I'm recording this you know, audio session. I trust that this chair is going to uphold me. This Hebrew term for trust means to throw down upon your face, to lie extended on the ground. If you were in a battle, the worst place that you could be would be on the ground because, one, you've got to be able to get up, and then you've got to fight. And often you are at an exposed position when you're on the ground. But you know what? When you have trust in someone, then you can lay down on the ground knowing that they will bring no harm to you. So Solomon is saying, put your trust in the Lord, not just a little bit, but with all your heart, with everything that you have. A couple summers ago, my son watched my daughter do a backflip off the high dive, and he was not going to be outdone by her, so he was trying to do it. But you could see before he would go off that diving board, he would hold back. He wouldn't commit. He wouldn't go all in. He was doing it half-hearted. And what ended up happening, he had a really awful smack on his back because he didn't make that rotation. When he fully committed to the flip, he made it. We're the same way. If we hold back, then we're setting ourselves up for trouble. So what Solomon is saying here, get out of yourself, lean upon God, but look at verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. That word acknowledge, we think, oh, hey, you know, there's a friend of mine down the road. Yes, it is that piece of I recognize that person. But the Hebrew term doesn't reference that you just acknowledge them, hey, there you are. It's that, hey, there you are, and I know you. I see you. I'm a friend of yours. I recognize you. Let's get together. Think about that in light of this verse. In all your ways, know him. Recognize him. Go seek him. Spend time with him. And if you do that, what does it say? He's going to make your paths straight. So all of these things, if we do what we should, then we're going to avoid the things that we should not. Verse 7, Solomon goes on. Here we go again. Be not wise. So in other words, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8, here it is again. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You know, if I choose to do something stupid, then I'm going to suffer the consequences. Like if I try to jump off of an 8-foot wall, this bad knee of mine is not going to bear the force of me hitting that ground. I'm going to hurt myself. So I need to trust the doctor who has spent all of his career in school, that has performed many surgeries on individuals and has told me, Joel, you need to avoid impact to save that knee. God, through Solomon, is telling us here in verse 7, don't trust your own wisdom. Fear the Lord. Use that lens to see everything. We've already talked about that. Why? Because you will turn away from evil, and that gives you health. That makes your life refreshing. So we see that Solomon is very clearly hammering this pattern of, son, do this and don't do this. Verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is the continuation of that thought in verse 7 where he says, don't trust in your own wisdom, but fear the Lord. Again, use that as the prism through which you see everything. But I want to be clear with this passage. This is not teaching the prosperity gospel that if you sow a seed of faith of X amount of dollars to this human, then they're going to pray for you and God is going to give you everything. That is not what this is saying. What this is saying by honor, it references a heaviness and weight. That heaviness comes, why? Because of abundance. He is saying that you have been blessed, so you honor the Lord with what he's given you. So often we in our corporate lives will get a pay raise at work, and the first thing that we do is we're going to go spend that pay raise. Have you ever stopped and thought maybe the Lord gave you that pay raise so that that additional money would go to support a missionary, to go to support a family that just had a fire, that would go to support someone that is in desperate need, that would go to fulfill a need within your church? We become so selfish. Why? Because we look at things through the wisdom of our own eyes rather than going, God, how I need to fear and respect you. I need to have awe in who you are. And just show me what you want me to do with this money that you've given me, Lord. That's what this is teaching. That God blesses so that we can bless. And Solomon is hammering home the point of you've got a choice to make. You can honor the Lord with what he's given you, or you can just spend it on crazy things that are of little value. One is wise, one is not. Then we get to verse 11. Solomon again, as he is bookending this session, says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Wow. Do not despise discipline. I remember as a kid, I hated being disciplined by my dad. But my dad disciplined me. Why? Because he loved me. He knew that I needed to be corrected and sent in a different direction. Because if I did not, I would not live a life of wisdom. I would live a life of foolishness. So what Solomon is saying here with do not despise, don't reject it. Don't resist. We need to stop. We need to pause. We need to reflect. It's like, why am I going through this? What does the Lord have for me that I need to learn? That thought was hammered home for me while I was in graduate school, earning my master's degree in history. The church that I grew up in, my youth pastor, who was instrumental in me coming to know the Lord, was a man by the name of Doug Roberts. He had beaten cancer once before. It had returned, and he would lose this battle with cancer. And the church hired me to literally and physically be his legs. He was the brains of the camp in the Vacation Bible School and the youth group. I just implemented his plans. But I remember going to see him in the hospital, and Doug was such a powerful testimony to those nurses. But he looked at me. His wife stepped out of the room and he said, Joel, I don't know what the Lord has for me to learn from this, but I hope I learn it this time because I don't want to have to go through this again. I don't think God was punishing Doug. This was just something that the Lord had in his plan. But Doug was very sensitive and he was trying to figure out, had I done something? And he wanted to learn that lesson. He was implementing this aspect of humility that Solomon was saying was, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Listen to him. See what it is. Don't be weary. Don't grow tired. Don't move away. Don't quit under his correction, his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. So three times in this passage, we see Solomon saying, my son, and then referencing here at the end this aspect of a son. If we have trusted Christ, we are in the family of God. And the same could be said of us. But I want to go back. I want to go back to how I opened this with doing the do. For us in our lives, for us, and in our leadership, this passage teaches us very clearly that we need to recognize the opportunity cost of every single choice that we make. If we choose A, that means that we lose the opportunity at B. If we choose to go to the right, we cannot travel to the left at the same time. Solomon is very clear in here, multiple times where he is saying, keep my commandments, write them down, bind them to your heart, trust the Lord, fear the Lord, respond favorably when he corrects you because he's trying to give you wisdom. He is very clearly teaching us the importance of humility, because if we get pride in our heart and we don't do any of those things, then we're choosing the things that Solomon has said not to let happen. Go back and look with me at verse 1. He says, do not forget my teaching. So by implication, if I forget his teaching, if I refuse to keep the commandments that God has given me, what happens in verse 2? Then we're not going to have peace in our life. Our days very well could be cut short because we do something ridiculously stupid that results in our life being taken, like drinking and driving. Every single one of these, there is a do this, and then this is going to happen. Look at verse 4. You'll find favor and good success. Well, if you don't follow what Solomon said, then you're choosing not to be successful, and you're choosing not favor. You could do the same thing. Look at verse 8. You know, keeping God's commandments, fearing Him, it's going to be health to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. If you run away from God, if you spitefully refuse to be with Him, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to have healing. You're going to have pain. You're going to fall apart. So it comes down to the opportunity cost, which is why what Solomon has laid out in Proverbs chapter 2 is so important. He says this is the value. Wisdom is to be treated like treasure. You're to seek it. That value translates into us choosing correctly so that we don't lose the opportunity that God has for us. If we choose unwisely, it creates a problem. I will use this one example and then we'll close. Go back to my childhood with Indiana Jones. And one of the later movies with Harrison Ford in it, Sean Connery was in that. They were trying to find the Holy Grail. They get to this guard that had been guarding it for years, and you have to choose this cup and drink water out of it. Well, Indy grabs it, and he picks it, and he drinks it, and then he looks at this guard, and the guard says, "You have chosen wisely." May you and I, at the end of our lives, stand in front of our Creator, stand in front of our all-powerful, all-knowing God, for Him to look at us and say, "You have chosen wisely." Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.